Welcome to the show, Joe. How you doing, man?
Yo, I'm chilling, man. I'm grateful to be on the show. You know, yeah, I hope you guys check it out.
My man. So, guys, I just want to introduce you who Joel is. So, Joel is a good brother of mine, and he's been such a huge blessing since he's came around. I won't say why he's around or how I met him, but I'll just say it this way. He came through his craft. We met him through acting, and his craft is what brought him into the community. And ever since he's came into the community, he's been such an asset, such a source of encouragement, and just connection, man, empowerment. You know, our motto is connect, empower, inspire. Those are our three key actions as alphas. So just to give you some background on Joel, let me just go to it right now. So Joel is from the Bronx. He's an actor. He makes music. He's also a model as well. And he's looking to use his God-given gifts to just be a blessing to whoever will experience his work. So I'm really happy to just have a conversation with him for this. You know, we do these free flowing conversations every now and then. And what I really wanted to just do is just give him space to share his story and what inspires him and so forth. So, yeah. So I'm just going to go right into it. So quick question, Joel. So tell us about you. Like, where were you born? And like what was your story as a child growing up? Like, how was your upbringing?
I was born in the Bronx. I was born in a hospital called Bronx, Lebanon, on the Grand Concourse. My living growing up was, at the time, I had everybody. I had all the family and stuff. I saw everybody. It was good, early on as a child. And I don't know where to start, but I would definitely say, like, early on, you know, I was definitely raised in the Lord. I didn't go to church, but we definitely did it together as a family. I remember with my great grandmother and then, you know, my aunts and my mom and things like that. And I remember seeing my grandfather, you know, being raised in the Word and stuff like that, which was cool. And, you know, the music and my cousins were rapping the gospel and, you know, like just we listening to gospel music for praise and playing the instruments and stuff like that. And, you know, then some part of my life, I just kind of seen everybody start dying. And people were just dying away, just losing. Next thing I'm losing my aunts and my uncles and, you know, and then, you know, family started to break apart. And after my grandfather died, you know, everybody kind of was doing their thing. And then my grandmother really was holding it together. And then when she passed away, you know, obviously, no, actually, when she just got even sicker, that's when everybody started separating. Wow. And then, you know, my mom and my pops was trying to really hold it down, trying to take care of everybody. But, you know, people, you know.
Yeah.
Grateful and again. And so people just started withering away little by little as I got older. We still kept, you know, the Sabbath, the Word, and, you know, prayer in our home, you know, and I got into the music when I was about 8 years old, just rapping and stuff, freestyling with my cousins on the block. You know, I took you to where I was, Hakeem. Uh-huh. I showed you to the spot where we used to do it back in the day. And then, you know, a lot of my music was really like, I mean, I still do it, but I still talk about God and things like that. So, and my mom, you know, when we were little, she put us in like these modeling shows. Uh-huh. When we were like real little, and she even put me on to getting my nails done and stuff and really taking care of my hair and, and just the fashion and stuff. And my mom, when we were little, because like always had us and put us in different activities and stuff like that, like, you know, after school programs and things like that. You know, that was a lot of my mom's. And then again, you know, as I got older, you know, things started going away and people started losing their job and, you know, fights used to happen, you know, with different family members and, you know, almost being homeless, and you know, everybody's living with you, and people not wow. trying to live right, and then just going through just kind of going through badly influences. You know, my parents trust my uncle, and he did what he did to us and really young, and then you know, my pops, you know, started seeing that my life was just going down. I just had a hard time in school. And just, you know, just people, you know, I was never an aggressive kid. You know, I even seen videos of me back in the day. I was such a sweet kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people didn't want to see that. They didn't want to see a smile on my face and stuff. So people used to do stuff to me and bully me, be mean to me, try to isolate me, exclude me, and then make up reasons why they're doing what they're doing. And I didn't get the support that I did. And then as soon as I started fighting back, I became the problem. And, you know, school was really hard for me because I wasn't focused. I was just too busy in the principal's office, getting in trouble, getting suspended, just missing out on a lot of things. And my mom fought, you know, real hard for me to finish school. By the time I got to middle school, I was pretty much like, people ain't want to bother me after, you know, they seen a couple of incidents, and, you know, I was fighting grown men at like 11, 12 years old, and just fighting in the street, and then, you know, people trying to just set me up and make me look like the bad person and stuff like that. And you know, my pops lost his job, so then he started acting weird, and you know, he had too many people in his ear about me, and you know, people was badly influencing my sister and myself, and you know, and then at this point, I'm fighting in the street, getting into trouble in the street, hard eye stares, hard eye contacts, almost getting into fights with multiple people and all of that. It was always something, and I said, going to school, a lot of fights and whatever, whatnot, to the point where I'm fighting grown men, and then I'm being sent to a juvenile detention center. And, it was scary. I only been there for 2 days, but as a kid, I was real scared. It was crazy because you're around nothing but bad people, bad kids, actually. So, and at that point, you know, nobody was really like supporting me, loving me, and plus, you know, like I said, my mom was there, but you know, she's also trying to make sure I'm on the right track. You know, I learned a lot of things along the way, but just also just seeing so much going on, because you know, my parents helped so many people, but a lot of people end up trying to hurt us more than help themselves or help us. So we saw a lot of fights, we saw a lot of broken things, we saw a lot of violence in the home. And I just was scared and, you know, had nothing to do and things like that. And just, you know, trying to be close to my parents, because I remember the times, you know, when it was just us, it was good. But, you know, when people are around, they can badly influence you. You know, I remember fighting on the block, fighting in the street, just, and then just getting, it just got worse as it got older. You know, by the time high school, you know, I lost my virginity when I was like 14, you know, and things just changed, and it was crazy. And, you know, I was still doing a little acting. I got into acting in middle school, but I didn't stick with it. Then 14, I did it a little bit, but I didn't stick with it. I was like, I want to be tough. I was like, this acting thing ain't making me tough. So I stopped doing it. I know I was rapping. I was performing. I used to perform in high school with my notebook and spitting. And I used to chill in the projects with some of the homies I went to school with back in the day, you know, playing the CDs and then, you know, going over the instruments, freestyling, rapping, just working on my craft and things like that. And I'm just like, I really wanted to be real as possible, tough as possible. I didn't really think I was gonna be rapping or be a rapper. I just did it because that was just a thing, and I was just like, oh, it was cool, and I was really good at writing and stuff. And thank God I was able to finish high school. And, you know, I didn't get, and I obviously got into the martial arts when I was 15, you know, and I stuck with it, you know. A lot of the street stuff kind of went, still got into a little trouble. That's when I just started. I mean, I didn't have much support, but I didn't really do much as a kid. Uh-huh. And I didn't know what I was good at, you know, what to look forward to. Because at that time, I didn't really have a relationship with my pops since I was a kid. Wow. especially in my teenage years. You know, he kind of like isolated me. He kind of like put me to the back burner. And so if any of the messages that he ever said, I kind of heard it from a second point of view's ear, if you know what I mean. If he was dropping what they say, dropping gems, dropping juice to you, and if I happened to be around, I'll like listen and then just take it and leave.
Okay.
And then I'll just figure it out in the street and stuff like that. So, that's how it was, and you know, didn't have the best relationship with him. And then at that point, I was just trying to look for a family since I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I didn't have it. So I was looking outside for it. And, you know, but then I had a hard time because I was going through a lot through two places, going through crazy stuff in the street and going through crazy stuff in the home. So I was able to make it through, and fast forward, you know, many, many years, you know, here I am now.
Amen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love it, man. You know, thank you for sharing that, man. I think it's important for us to be able to sometimes just revisit those memories, because oftentimes we have no idea how we can just go through things. And if we don't have space to share what we went through, what will happen is that there's a part of us that remains locked up. And what the Lord wants for all of us is really to truly be free. And I just thank you for sharing your experience and just sharing your story with us, man. One thing about Joel, guys, I just want to share this, is he definitely is someone who is disciplined, who is kind, just, you know, very considerate, thoughtful, and, you know, just an awesome man of God. And I think that he has a lot to offer to this world through his craft, through the things that he's doing, even in the community as well, teaching these young men. I don't know if it's women too, but you know, in the classes that he's doing, but he's adding a lot of value. And I always encourage people, you guys know, to always use this story to help others to break free from their own stories. Because sometimes we never, like, there's parts of us that are, like I said, are locked up in certain experiences, and it takes the right environment, the right person, for us to really be set free so that we can be all that God has called us to be. So you said a few things. So I want to talk about one thing I just kept repeating in my mind that you said. You talked about how when you were young, you were very sweet and you were very kind. And then when you, as the people around you, like, I guess, like you said, out in the streets or whatever, they did not like to see you smiling. It's almost like it made them angry to see you happy. Let's talk more about that. Like what was that?
Oh, like, plus I didn't look like I was a kid too. You know, I didn't look like a fighter. I looked like a nice kid, you know, like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't cause any harm. So, they would try to test me. They would try to see, you know, they would fight me, or they would try to bully me in the sense of, like, maybe take something and break it, or just be like, ask me questions like, oh, if you curse or not, or whatever, whatnot, which I didn't, you know, I didn't curse until later in my life. And so, like, they would try to force me to do that, or like, they'll do certain things to try to get me upset or try to see what they can get away with. And And it's funny how when things will happen to me, nothing happened. But but the moment I started fighting back, hurting people, then it was like, then I became the problem.
Wow.
And then, like, because my mom used to tell me, I would just change every single day she would see me. Change. Mm. You would just see a drastic change in my facial expressions and how I felt. And, but, yeah, it was definitely cool.
Your environment matters. And ultimately what you're sharing is how the environment almost forced you to become a different type of person for a season, where there were parts of you that were kind of confined because, like you said, here you are, happy-go-lucky kid, trying to enjoy your own life, you know, minding your own business. But here you have people who may not have had a similar experience or who have a similar experience, and they just genuinely don't understand why you have a smile. And it's crazy because there's a whole spiritual aspect behind that, because literally there are spirits, you know, not to go too deep into this right now because this isn't my focus, but there are literally spirits that work to steal our smiles and to get us into a place of almost like finding a vulnerability point so that we can be controlled. So that now there's a part of us that is locked up, like I mentioned earlier, and we're unable to really be free to just have, to just see life the right way. And the enemy is so, he works so hard at that. He works so hard at that to just try to steal our joy, to steal our peace and everything like that. So I'm actually, you know, I thank God that you have, you know, become who you are and are working to also bring a joy, bring that smile to other kids, because ultimately what you're doing now is, because of your experience, is you're providing a safe space for other kids to grow, to smile, to find out who they are. And one of the things, guys, is fathers are hugely responsible in a household for setting, helping the household to have an identity, right? Father is the one who sets the culture of the house. Is that something in the background? You can mute that for me? That's okay. Yeah. So, you know, to be able to, you know, so fathers kind of set the tone. They set the culture in the household. They're the ones who kind of give the family an identity for themselves. And when that man is not in position to be able to help set the culture and set the tone of the atmosphere, what happens is everybody in that atmosphere kind of like becomes a victim to the outside world. So whatever, like if your identity is not defined in the house, what happens is the outside world starts to define you. And if you don't know who you are, you will become whatever is needed in the moment, rather than remaining who you are, regardless of the moment. You know, so I just thank God for you and just allowing, you know, just allowing the process not to destroy you, and also using your story to help give back and be a blessing to these kids. I think it's important for us to always just reflect on the things that we've been through. You know, so another question I have for you is, so, I know you're acting and you're doing music and stuff like that. Like, what would you say, like what got you into the acting? Like, I know you mentioned something about church and stuff like that, but was it in church where you started to act, or like where was it that you first started to act and do music and all that stuff? Like, how did you get into it?
Well, I never been to a church per se, like,
yeah.
Like, oh yeah. But my mom got me into it, and she put me into it just so I can learn how to express myself and stuff like that. And I started feeling good about myself. I felt like I had a safe space. But then I was like, nah, I didn't want to do it. I wanted to just fight. I wanted to fight, you know, and be strong and be tough. And then a lot of it stuck with me because I rapped, and then the acting, it makes sense at the time, but just thinking about it now, it makes absolute sense. You know, but I didn't want to be no actor. Cause I was just like, I never thought I would ever even be doing that. So I just was like, nah. I was like, nah, I'm going to just drop this. And, you know, it was not that long. I performed at the National Black Theater in Harlem and whatever. And I rapped and I did the play, whatever. And I remember, you know, doing that. And then I was just like, all right, cool. And then I went back into the fighting and stuff because I was like, I wanted to be hard, like a brick, tough. You know, I wasn't tall, but I was tough, you know, so, you know, I had something to prove, you know, and plus, you know, being exposed to the street and stuff like that. Not saying I wanted to be street, but I was like, I didn't want to feel soft or feel vulnerable. Mind you, like, I didn't even know how to get girls in a sense like that, you know, so I was also doing that too, always trying to chase, get the next butt. Well, I always used to say buns back in the day. And then, like I said, later on in my life, when I was in my early 20s, I, you know, picked up rap, really rap again, for real, and just really learned the stuff. And I performed in Florida, but they needed me to act too. And I was like, I didn't want to do it, but I did it, and then it clicked. So, and it just helped me be more vulnerable and outside the box, mm-hmm. and really understand my emotions. Cause I did at some point I didn't know if that feeling in your heart felt embarrassed, but you didn't want to identify it as embarrassed. You felt you took it as you felt disrespected. So, everywhere. Hold on.
You can always just put it on mute when it, you know, when you're not talking or whatever. So don't worry about it.
Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's just, it's really sad, you know, that happens that way. But, you know, I thank God that, like you said, your mom was able to help you funnel that, you know, kind of like figure out what your emotions were and to start to discern more about what you were going through music and arts, because art is definitely an expression. It could be used to express many different things. And a lot of times people find their healing through art.
Yeah, I did. And again, you know, I truly did. And like I said, I'm thankful for my mom for that, because she knew, like, the things that I was going through, going to court, you know, going on probation, and like just really getting, and she's just seeing, you know, they say the devil was really working and trying to just get me to just want to throw my life away and have me look like a thug. And, you know, it's, that was the devil's goal, was to first see if he can bully me, destroy me. But when he couldn't, they just try to make me look like a criminal, a monster, a beast, and then just throw me away.
Yeah, that's that's one of the strategies in the enemy. I always share that, how if the enemy can't destroy you, he tries to affect how people see you. So if he's not able to get rid of you, what he does is he attacks your reputation, he attacks your name, so that you have no influence, so that you have no say-so. And it's so crazy because so many people, man, so many callings have been affected. Because not because the person just they broke down or they stopped fighting. It was more so because the enemy caused the people around them to see them, that person, a certain way, and that person didn't know how to break out of that. You know, like, just imagine, like, you're a warrior, but then you get placed into a place where nobody understands you, and then everybody turns on you. So now you're surrounded by a village of people who don't really understand who you are and what you've conquered and your story. So now, you know, man, I'm gonna get into that. it's so deep, you know. It's so
deep. It definitely I definitely know that feeling when nobody understands you, nobody's on your side. You by yourself, like, you know, people try to destroy your reputation and try to make you try bait, you know. And it, you know, like I said, I know those feelings of being isolated, excluded, always put at the bottom, above, you know, looked over purposely, you know. And, you know, I know also just I know what it's like to be challenged really young. So it's hard because then when you it's so crazy when if I ever decide to lash out, what threw me off was how people were so why I was like that. Nah, like it's just I know those feelings are just and then just caught in between when I decide to lash out. It's like everybody's looking at you like, what's the problem? And I'm like, yo, you ain't see what was going on. And then they just like, yeah, or like, you know, some people be like, oh, you need to talk more. You need to smile more. And I didn't like doing that. Then I get exposed to people that just never cared. So, and then, you know, like I said, just being tough. And then all of a sudden, everybody's scared of you. And it's just like when I try to be nice, people just always try to take advantage and stuff like that. And, you know, people always try to test you. People try to size you up, always trying to take advantage, always trying to get a run up on run game on you and stuff. And it's just sad.
Environment matters so much. You know, one of the things I talked about on another podcast episode, how your environment, like the people that you're around, they indirectly alter your state of thinking unconsciously. You know, and I was saying how like in the Bible, they call it a yoke, right? So whenever we connect to something that has influence over us, over our way of thinking, what happens is unconsciously, wherever that thing is headed, we actually are going in that same direction. And if that thing is not headed in the right direction, unconsciously, even though it's not headed in the right direction, if we don't have someone else pull us off of that, I call it the locomotive theory. If we don't have someone else disconnect us from that train, or we don't disconnect ourselves, we'll end up going in the same direction that those things are going unless there's intervention. And this is the reason why, like I say, environment is so important. Like, because you this is the danger with it. It's unconscious where you start to adopt certain ways of thinking and certain behaviors. It's not even, some of it is intentional, but a lot of it is unconscious. It happens subconsciously. Because naturally, as humans, we look for connections. We look for places to relax, to feel safe. And when that environment to feel safe is provided, what happens is if it's an environment that is, let's say, godly, and that is more reflective of the character of Christ, then you know that you'll start to become more like Christ. But if you're in an environment that, let's say, is like, people are doing drugs and cursing and fornicating and all that stuff, but you're comfortable there, you feel relaxed, unconsciously you start to have that way of thinking, and you start to you're heading in that direction until there's an interruption. So it's just crazy how that works, because it's the Lord who pursues after us. We do not, you know, we're not the ones who initiate that pursuit. It is Him who comes after us and rescues us. You know, I know in the scripture it talks about how we were once slaves to the elemental forces of this world. I believe it says in Colossians chapter 2 how we were all once slaves to the elements of this world. But God intervened. And now we have the ability to actually have our own thinking. Like, I can remember even for myself, there was a long period of time before, you know, but I call it Hakeem BC, Hakeem before Christ. There was a long period of time where I wasn't fully aware of how my decisions affected multiple people. I just kind of moved based on how I felt at the time and whatever I felt like I wanted to do at the time. But one of the things that becoming a child of God does to you is it causes you to become a little bit more aware of your decisions and how they affect others. So, you know, I just thank God for that. My son just had to come over here and join the conversation, but I sent him back upstairs. Yeah. But, yeah. You know, even with him, like, I look at this little man, and I'm so thankful for him. And it's just like, I just want to protect him. Like, when I think about what you were saying as far as that smile, how there were people who were trying to steal that smile from you, it just makes me, you know, I look at him and I'm like, man, like, you know, I want to make sure that he understands who he is and understand that while we live in this world, we're not of this world. you know, and that he doesn't have to allow this world to shape who he is.
Yeah, man, and, you know, like I said, like, just feeling like I feel like if my dad just wasn't challenging me himself and making my life harder, I wouldn't, you know, have to be in this position too.
Wow.
Wow. So I would say, like, just don't become Saul or Paul, whoever mm-hmm. hated, whoever was jealous of David. Don't become that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because, you know, your son needs you the most, and I think I was needing my dad the most, but I had to just survive and struggle alone and be strong alone. So, and, you know, I didn't trust nobody, and the people that I did trust did me wrong, and I'm just like, I ain't got nobody at this point, you know, so nobody was believing in my dream like my mom, and I pushed myself, and nobody pushed me. Nobody gave me that motivation, that drive. People were just trying to do their best to talk me out of it, but when they seen that I was locked in,
wow,
they just rather not deal with me. So, so that's just, and I, you know, me talking about it, it doesn't hurt, but it just makes me, you know, not want to deal with people. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm the way I am now, because I remember when I really needed people, really wanted to be around people, I didn't have it. So I just learned to live by myself and enjoy myself and understand that this is very peaceful, mm-hmm. being by myself and not needing anybody and not needing trouble. And every time I did go around people, they always had something crazy. So I removed myself from that, and now I really don't have any issues. And, you know, now I'm back at it with a family now.
Amen. That's his story now. Let it be clear, folks. Like, he is, yeah, on his journey. He has a family that loves him. You know, he is moving forward, man. Yeah, absolutely. You're not by yourself, brother. You are not by yourself. That's not your story anymore. You got a family. We love you. And you are taking major territory for the kingdom, you know, as you continue to just do what God has called you to do. And you just remember that the world, in this world, we will have tribulation, but we take heart because Jesus, not us, but Jesus has overcome this world. So it is through him that we overcome this world. So, you know, just keep up the good work, man. I'm proud of you. I'm not going to keep you too much longer. I just wanted you to, you know, to share your story and to also, like, just have space to, like, have these conversations. And we're going to keep this going as well anyway.
But, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, I just, you know, did you have a word of encouragement to those who have been raised in, like, let's say, tough environments, and they're trying to figure out how to, like, really overcome it? Like, do you have a word of advice, like, for them to be able to, like, really break through and become all that God called them to be?
I would say, you know, because based off of my experience and sin, just know, just tell yourself, just, you got to have that faith, in a sense of not knowing, but just, you know, one thing I always did, no matter if I got numb to life or if I got numb, it's just, I kept going,
mm-hmm.
keep going. I didn't stop. Sad to say, you can't wait for nobody. You can't. Don't seek validation from people. God has given you everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know it might feel lonely at first. That's the time to build that relationship with God, and have him heal you and know you, and you know, just always, you know, when that time comes, when you get that family that's going to embrace you and love you for who you are, and you don't gotta, you know, be like that to them, or always have your guard up, you know, and I think it just gives you a sense of appreciation, and just continue, just don't, like I said, for my story, one thing I did was I just never stopped, which shocked everyone. Was like, this was supposed to hurt you, change you,
Yeah.
And did it change me? Of course. I can't sit here and lie to you. My heart, can I feel like even now, like sometimes I have moments where I just want to shut everything down. When I say shut everything down, I don't want to be around nobody. I don't want to talk to nobody. I want to go back into that safe, that quote unquote safe haven of being around nobody. It feels at peace. I don't want to share with nobody. I don't want to smile with nobody. You know, saying what's up to me, I'm going to automatically assume you have ulterior motives. So, you know, I think it's all the way. It's gone, but I know it's still there. I can't hide it. I can't, you know, I just got to be completely honest with myself. But I still push myself to be around people that seem like they love me and care about me and that they truly mean it and that they're embracing me. And that aren't weird. So, and I just ask God all the time to give me the wisdom and the eye of discernment and to know if I'm in a safe place. But do I truly feel like I'm in a safe place? Of course. Do I feel like I can laugh, joke, smile, just be like at peace? It's like, yeah, you know, I appreciate it. And I appreciate that special woman that's in my life too. And
man,
yeah, I know who she is. And is it easy? I'm not going to talk about her. I'm going to talk about me. Was it easy for me to be in a relationship? Of course not. Again, because I didn't want to be put in a position where I might get hurt or why am I in a relationship? I don't need anybody. And also, like, if I got something going on, that's probably the only reason why they're with me. Or I just be like, you know what, like, don't waste my time, because I just don't want to be around nobody or with nobody, because I feel like they'll be a burden, or they'll try to come and destroy my peace. And then, you know, I was never an overthinker, but I became an overthinker. I trusted less, you know, due to my situations and environments and the things that I've seen. And I was like, I don't even want to experience that. So has it changed me? Of course. Now, am I in an environment where I feel like myself? Of course, I feel comfortable, you know. And then, you know, like I said, when I come back here and chilling and stuff, and it's like, oh, this is cool too. But I'm also like I said, I'm still understanding that I have a family that loves me, and I'm truly believing it. I didn't believe it at first. I didn't know. So, but, you know, that's all I could say. It's just continue to endure, you know, don't stop. I'm just proud of myself for not allowing that trigger to stop me from having what I deserve.
Amen. Absolutely. You know, there's a famous image of, you know, I'm happy you said it, because you deserve good and God has a lot for you. And, you know, the Lord wants you to be in a position to be able to receive all that he has for you. And a lot of times what keeps us from being able to receive all that God has for us is that we allow walls to be built around us that keep us in one place and others outside of that place. So we can't even see the help because we have a wall that's blinding us from seeing them and from them seeing us, you know, and the Lord wants to tear down all the walls in our lives so that we're able to roam around freely and to help bring forth his kingdom, because all of it really comes back down to his kingdom expanding, his influence expanding, people knowing that God loves them, that God is a redeemer, that he's a restorer, that he is very concerned about everything that has hurt you, that he is very concerned about all the things that have set you back, all the things that have try to break you, but the Lord is concerned about all of those things inside of you, and he will perfect that which concerns you. So, you know, I just want you to know man of God, you know, my proud Black brother, I just want you to know that I'm proud of you, man, for doing the work to just be the best man that you can be and just allowing your story to be a part of who you are and not allowing it to define you, because you are not defined by your story, but you can add a definition to it. That's the first time I've said that. Wow. You do not have to be defined by your story, but you can add a definition to it. You can say it was this, because for me, when I look at my story, and I'm, and we're almost done here, guys. When I look at my story, I just say restoration. I say restoration and healing. And that's what, how I define my story. And my story is ongoing. And all of you guys, is really, you can define your story. You can add definition to it. You don't have to feel as though you've been set back. The Lord has you. He is mindful of you. And like I said, he will perfect that which concerns you guys. So guys, once again, I want to thank you, Joel, for coming through and sharing your story, brother. It was good. Thank you for your honesty and transparency. And guys, remember that you are. Hey guys, thank you for tuning into the podcast today. This is the Alpha Talk Tuesday podcast, held every Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to you joining us next week. Have a wonderful day, and remember that you are Alpha.